You are listening to the Punk News Podcast, episode 743. And we've got a special guest, but we're not going to tell you yet. We'll be right back.
Casually brave, that made me less lonely and it helped me compared you to broke your nose vines. Yes, I do. I look for you in crowds, I don't know where you are. Man, I peeled to the gills, prowling through bars. You and Mr. the man in the Bismarck. I hope that you know.
And this is features editor John Gentile, and I'm very excited about tonight's episode. I'm here with M. Moore, of course. M. Moore, what's happening? What's going on? Let's keep the people in suspense, although they'll probably read the title of this episode and they'll know who the secret person is, but we're going to pretend they didn't. M. Moore, what's going on? Are you excited for all the upcoming Exclaim magazine reporting you have on your docket?
Yeah, I'm very excited. There's a lot of cool conversations in the works and some festival coverage coming up, so you know, lots of cool stuff that I'm very excited for. I'm also very excited for tonight's guest. So hope maybe the title of the episode needs to be like cryptic. It needs to be like those word things that you have to de-scramble the word to figure out who it is or something.
Possibly. So
fun.
Let's see here. We'll keep the people in suspense just for a couple more seconds, and more, of course. Is a big shot over Exclaim magazine now, doing maybe a weekly article or more, which is pretty cool. So be sure to check those out. And we're also here with someone I'm probably more excited about this guest than any other guest we've had this year. Not even a guest, a friend back in town hanging out. We are here with the one, the only, the fantastic, the Hallie Bullitt. Hallie, welcome back to the show.
It's your friend, Hallie Bullitt. Hi, everybody.
Hallie. When Hallie left, it was when Hallie didn't leave. Hallie had a hiatus. She had things to do. One of those things was doing God's work and protecting the environment. Hallie Bullitt, are we still protecting the environment? And how is that battle going?
Fuck yeah. I mean, it's going poorly, but I'm doing it. I'm like, I got bloody knuckles over here. Yeah, no, fuck yeah. Yeah, I've been busy. Like very, very like micro local shit, but like I started a like green team environmental club for kids in my town. So I'm like raising the next generation of fighters, man. And I'm running compost programs and community gardens and yeah, running myself ragged, but I'm doing the thing. It feels good. It's very gratifying.
Well, that's about as punk rock as
Woo!
it gets, because I'll paraphrase Penny Rimbaud. I can't change the world, but I can change my immediate surroundings. And also, I'm going to ask Hallie Bullitt a question I asked them last week. Hallie Bullitt, you find yourself at Dial House in England. Do you watch Penny Rimbaud Garden Naked? Do you do that?
No, that's bad naked. Right. I'm actually not like a big Seinfeld fan, but I do know this concept from Seinfeld of good naked and bad naked. And like bad naked is like people just like doing like just commonplace things naked, like opening a jar naked or yeah. So I don't want naked gardening.
Well, actually, M and I disagreed. I said, as part of the dog experience, Penny Rimbaud loves to garden naked. I'm watching Penny Rimbaud garden naked. Hallie M. Moore said she wouldn't watch Penny Rimbaud garden naked. I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, well, I would help him out. M. Moore wants to be down in the daisies with Penny Rimbaud while he's gardening naked. What do you think of
Oh
that, Hallie?
yeah, hell yeah. No. I have no problem with naked gardening. I just don't like want to watch it as a spectator sport. But sure, if we're gardening together, I'm down.
Well, there you go. Okay, Penny Rimbaud, well, classic guy. Anyway, I'm so happy that Hallie's here. I miss Hallie terribly. I understand that she, actually, if we can reference Dolly Parton, when Dolly Parton had to leave Porter Wagoner, I will always love you. I will get in your way. So I like how I'm importing a message upon Hallie. But Hallie, I'm so happy you're back. So welcome back.
Yeah, no, I miss you guys. And honestly, like I miss like the conversations and I miss just the constant access to like just the constant feed of great new music that I got from you guys and that I had to really listen to, like different from listening to the podcast. Like I had to do like a deep dive on stuff in a way that like now I still listen to new stuff all the time and a lot of stuff that I get recommended by you guys, but I don't have to like deep dive and like look into the bin, like watch their videos. And, like I miss that. I miss that in like real engagement with new music. And so yeah, I'm like so happy to reprise my role here on the podcast for this week.
Well, we're going to talk about new music
Yeah.
in a second. And by new music,
Woo.
I mean 20-year-old music. But Hallie Bullitt, what music have you been digging lately? Have you been to any cool shows, or have you been too busy composting?
No, I've been to a bunch of cool shows lately. I was recently in Minneapolis and I got to go see Doomscroll, who I'd know because of you guys on the podcast. And that show was so fucking good. I mean, like Minneapolis punks are they're a fucking wild crew, man. I brought my son because my son's like a big Doomscroll fan. He like loves Doomscroll. Like Tool's, he's 7 years old. He like tools around on his bike and like he'll keep my phone in like the little like pocket that's meant to hold his water bottle. And he'll just like blast Doomscroll while he like tools around on his bike. He feels like he's so badass. So we went to this Doomscroll show in Minneapolis. I mean, I had a lot of explaining to do about like leftist punk culture to my 7-year-old. It was like the punks were like really in like full effect that night. My son had a lot of questions, but it was such a fucking good show. It was such a good show. So I did that. It was at like a brewery in Minneapolis. Really nice space, really cool space. And I guess a couple months ago, but I got to see the Breeders at South Street Seaport. That was like a disgustingly amazing show. And we went to see Twisted Teens here in Jersey, and Lucy opened up for them. And then like a really metally punk band that I don't remember the name of, but that show was also just like totally amazing. And we ran into lots of old friends. And so we've been seeing some shows here and there. It's been good. A lot of good new music and good shows to check out. How about you guys? What have you been seeing?
Well, I saw Colleen Green two
Fuck
nights
yeah.
ago. She was awesome. Think about A. Colleen Green's an amazing songwriter. What people don't realize about her, and I mean this in a good way, she's weird. She's really weird, and people don't realize that she's weird, but she's awesome. Before that, I saw the Dwarves at a tiny club. That was awesome, and I saw Rush about 3 weeks ago, and it was amazing. Before the Rush show, I had trepidation because there's two out of three, main Rush members. Now there's a fourth member. One member's not Canadian, which annoyed me. I saw the show, and I don't care about any of that now. They were awesome. They were awesome. Rush was awesome.
I
And
love that
more.
you were like, Rush has to be Canadian.
Rush, well, Rush does have, I mean, that's like AC/DC has to be Australian, except for AC/DC isn't Australian. They're Scottish. They're mostly Scottish, Here's a fun fact, Callie, but Colin Hay of Men at Work, I never realized this. He's not Australian. Did you know that?
No, I never knew that.
He's Scottish. And I realized this whole time I've been listening to his accent saying, yes, that's an Australian accent. It's a Scottish accent. I never put it together. Colin
That's
Hay is
awesome.
Scottish.
That is, I don't know. He's in like the quintess, he's in the probably maybe the most iconic Australian band, like globally.
Doesn't say much for
And
Australia,
not
but
Australian. That's amazing.
the two most Australian bands, Men at Work and AC/DC, aren't actually Australian. So, and more, any cool shows you've seen recently before we jump into the El Nudo?
I went to A Pure Fest in Sudbury, and that was really cool. It was the first time being up north that way. Well, I mean, kind of. It was the first time being to Sudbury. They have a lot of rocks, and it's really cool. And I saw the big nickel, and that was fun. And they have a smaller nickel beside it. And I brought a nickel, like a regular one, and got a picture with the big nickel holding the small nickel. And I left the small nickel there just as like an offering. So there were so many great bands that I saw. So I saw Misha and the Spanx, who are really good. They're out of Calgary. They just put out an EP called Visions, and they do like garage punk. It's a duo, and they are fantastic. I saw Weird Nightmare, which is Alex Edkins and friends. They have a bunch of really cool stuff. Samwise were really good. Status Non-Status were amazing. Brooklyn Doran was super great. Lenny Rayan, Sukian Lee, and and then recently I went to see MCR. It was my first time across the border in like 10 years, so saw them in Detroit with Iggy Pop opening and caught one song, and that was sick.
Well, there you have it. If you want to hear Em's recap of Iggy Pop and My Chemical Romance, listen to last week. But listen, let's talk about contemporary music, about contemporary, maybe 20-year-old album. World Inferno Friendship Society, maybe the best band ever, is re-releasing what might be the best album ever, Red Eyed Soul. It's been super duper hard to get on vinyl ever since it came out, really. I got my copy when it first came out on the Jersey Boardwalk, frankly, Ocean City, Maryland. But since then, this record has been a $200 record. Well, now it's coming out again on Ernest Jennings. It's been remastered at 45 by the original producer Don Fury, a famous hardcore producer. That's out October 30th, Perfect Day by Ernest Jennings record company Mischief Night. World, this record is really th this record is really World Inferno at their absolute heights. Prior to this album, they were building and building and building, and at the time, kind of all eyes were on them. And this record is just a total knockout. It's really the exact merging of their punk rock and their northern soul slash blue-eyed soul, of course, rendered here as red-eyed soul. I actually remember when it came out, it was actually somewhat divisive among the super old school hardcore World Inferno fans because they thought it was too 80s sounding. I remember the song Cats Are Not Lucky Creatures. Someone described this to me as sounding like modern English or something, which it kind of does, but I think it's awesome, at any rate. I'm super psyched for this come out. Some days is the best album in the world. So with World Inferno, it's always going to be tinged with sadness, even the happiness, because it ended on a sad note. And you could draw compassion to Nirvana, but when people listen to Nirvana, I don't think fans of Nirvana get sad when they listen to Nirvana. I think they're like the flame that burns the brightest burns the quickest, or Kurt Cobain, what a legend. He was just too big for this world, or stuff like that. But with World Inferno, I think World Inferno fans like myself get sad when thinking about and even enjoying World Inferno. So, Hallie, I don't know if you have any World Inferno perspectives or perspectives on the record, or kind of the contrast between Nirvana or maybe The Doors or any other group like that and World Inferno, because I feel I don't, whenever I listen, I love World Inferno. But I always get slightly sad whenever I listen to World Inferno ever since Jack's passing. I don't know if you have a perspective or not, Hallie.
Well, I think like World Inferno wasn't as big a band, right? And like, and their scene was so tight. So like, for World Inferno fans, like most of them knew Jack personally. You know, like I think with Nirvana, like I'm sure the people that were like in that local Seattle scene and like had a personal connection to him, it might feel that same way, you know, not to the rest of us in the world, but like to people for whom he was like a real person, the way I think that Jack was a real person to most of his fans, you know, so accessible, so present at those shows, so inclusive of like everybody, and built like this like world building that he was able to do, where like people really identified as like World Inferno people. And I do think like I think this time of year is sad for his fans because it was, you know, like October, and their Hallamass was like, am I saying that correctly? It was like, you know, so such a defining time of year for them. So in a way, I would say like releasing this album is kind of gives everybody like something to feel kind of ha you know, happy about, and that you shouldn't have to pay $200 to get that record. That's a fucking awesome record. If you want it on vinyl, you should be able to get it on vinyl. So without having to like, you know, like remortgage your house. So I think it's fucking cool. I think it's a cool celebratory thing to do at this time of year when people might be really, really missing him. Just kind of feels like it's sort of keeping things alive, keeping his legend alive. I don't know. What do you think? Like, are you like, would you have gone to those like October? Would you have gone to the Hallamass shows, John? Like, is that something you would do every year?
Yeah, one of the, this is crazy. One of the very, 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 very best shows I've ever seen, maybe the very best show, was the Hallamass show for this packed funeral. Because the entire year, they're like, Jack's old, I think they're positioning her as Jack's girlfriend. Jack's girlfriend, Grace Delicious. Well, actually, I don't think they picture her as his girlfriend. A lady friend that he had passed away. And Grace Delicious was the singer of this band called, they made up some band. I forget the name of the band. And so anyways, they were like, so bring flowers to the funeral. And Hallamass is the funeral. And you walk in and there's a casket with a woman in the casket. And you put flowers down by the casket, right? And then before the show starts, I guess they wheel the casket away or something. Then during the show, near the end, they bring out a massive gospel choir. And it might have been one of those non-religious gospel choirs, or maybe it was religious gospel. I don't even know. Probably 35 people, and they're singing World Inferno's Pumpkin Time, which is a song, Why Don't You Rise Me Up? And then they bring out the casket, and it's crazy. And I thought they were going to have Grace Delicious pop out of the casket, but they didn't. But
Whoa, dude.
it was crazy, and that it was like an entire choir backing World Inferno singing. And there's giant, there's, I mean, giant, probably 20 feet across, giant pumpkin balloons bouncing across the audience. There's giant pumpkin head creatures walking around the audience. It was absolutely mind-blowing, and very much is a direct inspiration of the summer soirees for sure.
Yeah.
So, anyways, so I certainly miss Jack. And I'm always tinged with sadness, you know, whenever I listen, I still do listen, but it is sad. I just think of all the fun times, the fans and we could have had, and the shows we could have had. But you know, what can you do? You can't do
Yeah.
anything, you know. It sucks, man. But yeah, it's sad. Emma, do you have any commentary on the record or World Inferno or anything like that?
Yeah, I think it's cool that they are re-releasing it. And like especially around, you know, kind of like Halloween time and everything, with like the feeling of like sadness. I don't think that's ever gonna go away, and I think that it is there with Nirvana to an extent, but I think that with Nirvana there is a lot of mythologizing and stuff like that that World Inferno with Jack doesn't have, because I agree with what kind of both of you were saying, like you the fans are like that was a person, that was our friend. So it hits a little bit differently. But I think, listening to an album and having it on and still interacting with the music, like after someone's passed away, like that's such a powerful thing of keeping them alive.
What is interesting is Buzz Osborne has expressed exactly what Moore has expressed, is that like people mythologize Kurt Cobain, and Buzz Osborne's like, well, I'd rather my friend be alive and not famous as opposed to being famous and dead. Like Buzz Osborne said that directly. So anyways, let's do a happier story. Linda Linda's, they've got a new video out. Of course, they're on Epitaph Records now. The song is called Everybody Told Me, which is on Gotta Get Out, and that's out just this about two almost 2 weeks ago now. The Linda Lindas are no longer little kids. They're young women, or maybe just women. I don't know. First of all, M, the Linda Lindas, young women or women?
I think they are women, but I still think they are young.
Do they all identify as female?
Oh, actually, I'm not sure about that. I think one of them, let me look that up really
I would
quick.
say they're young people.
Young
Yeah, they're young people.
M. Moore, did you dig this? And couple, did you dig this? Also, have Linda Lindas surpassed the benefit and the weight that is being a quote kid band? Because a lot of bands, namely Hanson, get tagged as being a kid band and they can never get beyond that hump. Have Linda Lindas done that? And yeah, so what's your perspective there, M?
Yeah, I think that the kid band tag, I think they've definitely surpassed that. I think it's, as people grow up and their sound changes and the way they present themselves changes and different things like that, I think it's asking you to and expecting you to like grow along with them. I think there's been, and like punk's such a great thing because so many bands that we talk about on the podcast started when the members were like 15, 16, 14, 11, right? And like in some cases they're still active or they're doing reunion tours and things like that. And their fan base grew with them and allowed them to grow. And we don't look at like, the Germs and be like, wow, that was a kid band. Or Black Flag and be like, wow, that was a kid band, So I think Linda Lindas are growing. I think they're shedding the label. I really liked the video. I thought the video was cool. They use a lot of like practical effects and it's like kind of surreal at points and it's really neat. This isn't my favorite song off of the album, but it's not a bad song. But I liked the imagery a lot. Hallie, what did you think?
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I feel them, trying different shit, and I love that.
Yeah.
And I think you're right. I think it says a lot about, I think it says a lot about the scene. And actually, I would say I feel like the scene has changed a lot in that these young people have been given like a lot of opportunities to grow, to change. People have given them the opportunity to grow up and be taken seriously. They didn't get like pigeonholed as a certain thing. And I think this album is really interesting, exciting, because you feel them kind of like reaching out and like trying to, just like sort of pressing into whatever they, whatever defines them, and trying to figure out what else they want to do and say and be. And I think it's super exciting. I'm so psyched that they fucking wrote a song about climate. Did you guys hear that one? That's
Yeah, it was
it's
so
fucking
good.
rad, dude. I'm not gonna make the whole podcast about the environment, but I don't know about you guys, but like my fucking summer, a lot of things about my summer were really defined by climate change. Like we were stuck inside for a good portion of June because of fucking extreme fucking sweltering heat and wildfire smoke and all kinds of shit. And meanwhile, like I don't feel like anyone's fucking talking about it. It's like I'm like running into people around town, and everyone's like, "Oh, this heat's real bad," or like, "Oh, this fucking storm!" Like, my town was like torn apart by a storm in June, and everyone's like, "Oh, that was really bad." And everyone's like kind of looking at me because they know I'm like a climate lady, and they're kind of like giving me a, they're like giving me a look like, you know why it's bad, but like no one's saying it, no one's fucking talking about it. So I just like heard this term, climate hushing. It's like this new thing where like we all know it's fucking happening. Like I don't think anyone's denying this shit anymore. Like. You'd have to be like an imbecile, but like everyone was having it, but still nobody's talking about it. So I just like I love that they wrote this fucking song about this. I want to see this from more artists. I was super psyched about that, and I think Burning Out is such a fucking little jam, and I'm excited about the different things they have tried to do and say, and the different sounds they've experimented with on this album. John, have you been? Rocking out to these songs.
You know, you've slightly changed my mind, Hallie Boy. I'll tell you why. You point out that the Linda Lindas have this climate change song, and you know what? That's more punk rock than a lot of quote bands that we call punk rock. You know, there's
Yes,
bands
it
that, you
is.
know, I drink whiskey and I'm with my friends and we'll make it through the night. Like, that's more punk that. But also, you know, there's, you know, maximum rock and roll style bands, which I like, but anymore they all kind of sound the same. But they're like, you know, I hate society and I do cocaine, skulls and chains. It's like, well, you're just reiterating something that's already been reiterated. Whereas the Linda Lindas are bringing the crass message, if you will. I'm going to talk about crass nonstop tonight. They're bringing the crass message to a younger audience that is growing up in Trump's America,
Yeah.
where that is th that issue is being quite literally silence. You know, I remember when I
Yeah.
was in middle school, they were really big on conservation. That was like a class. They don't call it conservation anymore. Now I guess they call it, I don't know, climate change studies or whatever, but conservation, you know, it's like we need
Yeah.
trees, that kind of, they don't teach that. You know, I've got some young nephews. They don't teach that in school anymore. So it's pretty cool that Linda Lindas, I'm not gonna lie and say I love the Linda Lindas. I mean, I like that. I mean, I think they're cool. I think the idea is cool. But I'm a little torn on Linda Lindas, and maybe I'm being unfair here. And give me your opinion on that. But I'm not driving around rocking out the Linda Lindas. I'm playing the same Cro-Mags out from 1986. You know, but
Amazing.
that, you know, but yes, I would definitely go see them in a festival. But here, the other thing here, and this is kind of taboo to talk about, but of course, the Linda Lindas, the singer, her father is a big time music executive. So you could accuse them of being Nepo babies. And I think everyone's kind of scared to talk about that because that, like, well, why are we picking on the Linda Lindas and not other bands that might be Nepo babies that aren't, you know, for young people or whatever, you know? So I mean, is it fair to, but on the other hand, you know, 5 and 6 years ago when Live Nation was creeping around DIY spaces, I got creeped out. I'm like, you're trying to take over the one space I have left. And thankfully, Live Nation's plan, well, I wouldn't say their plan failed. They tested the waters and they found the waters weren't fertile enough for them to exploit. But that's the issue here, is if this band is put together by people from within the music industry, am I being manipulated by listening to them? I don't know if anybody, I mean, on one hand, they're just four young people having fun making music, but then if you want to be weird and paranoid, you're like, no, this is the music industry trying to control my thoughts, you know?
I
So I
mean, I
don't
don't
know.
think people are afraid to talk about whether they're Nepo babies because if you Google their band name, it's literally one of the first things that comes up. It's like, are the
Oh,
Linda
really?
Lindos Nepo babies? So, like, no, people are like gleeful. People are gleeful. People love to hate shit. They love to fucking complain about shit. So I don't think anybody's afraid to aim like negative criticism at this band. But like, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I think I don't know. I think they had parents that were interested in music and encouraged them to have a band. I think they probably got opportunities that other people didn't, but I think they've definitely shown that they're rising to the occasion. And I mean, we all, you know, I mean, my mom was in theater, so I went into theater. I think a lot of people do, like, you, a lot of people get interests and are encouraged to do things that their parents love. And I don't see that as being like such a big deal. I definitely see where doors got open for them, but then I'm listening to the music and I'm seeing the stuff that they put out and I mean, they just fucking love what they do. It's very, very magnetic. They clearly love being a fucking band and they definitely get the punk ethos. Like they're in it. They're doing it. So I don't know. I don't I don't love how, like I said, like I don't love how gleeful people are to like level criticism at bands. I think this is a good band doing good shit and enjoying themselves. I don't have a problem with it, you know?
Well, there you go. Linda, Linda's a good band doing good shit. We're gonna do one more. Actually, this may be a good story. I didn't realize I put so many heavy stories on tonight's slate. I'm like, Hallie Bullet's back. Here's a bunch of bummer stories. Well, one more maybe bummer story, then we're gonna come back with a happy story. Then we're gonna play a song and then dive in some happy and some sad stuff. Here's one more story talking about climate change. Australia has banned AI music from its charts. And the reason they did that is because some DJ made a track that he said, make this sound like Madonna. And he made a track that sounded exactly like Madonna. And it went like number one on the, not number one on the charts, but it was on the charts for a number of weeks, 16 weeks on the Australia Top 20. So Australia is the first major country and probably the first country to ban AI from its charts on music. And basically, if the fundamental melody of the song was created in part or in whole by AI, it's not eligible to be on the chart. But of course, you can still make it and sell it and whatnot. I think that's great. I hate AI. I especially hate AI in the arts. I think, I think someone, I can't remember who it was, but they said that AI art and music is made by the least creative people, which is so true. It really is. And I hate AI. And I think, first of all, the copyright issue has yet to be addressed. And I think it won't, just because there's so much money behind it and it's so massive. So I'm glad at least the Australian Arts Association, or the recording industry, if you will, is taking a stand against that. But the other thing is, and two other things here is, I got a lot of, I have way more friends, well, actually, I don't know, I have a lot of friends that aren't, quote, punk or aren't into punk or whatever. Most of them don't really worry about AI that much. They even use AI and I can't stand it, which really bums me out. Although what's interesting is my friends in tech hate AI, or at least a couple of my friends in tech hate AI, which I find is interesting. So there's two questions here, Hallie Bullet. A, is the battle already lost with AI? B, other countries, and this is a huge question that I don't even have the answer for. So other countries, China, Russia, they're not going to stop AI whatsoever. So should we develop our own AI? Like, should we just say, well, no, our AI and that crap, but like solving medicine or whatever, or solving diseases, should we use AI for that? I do you have a perspective on that, Hallie? But big question. If you don't have an answer, that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, definitely we have some fucking li like, I mean, we literally have to figure out how we're gonna survive as a species. So if fucking robots want to help with us with that, I have no problem with that. Of course, like meanwhile they're like using up so much fucking energy that like AI is like making the problem worse that it could, potentially solve. But I don't know, before I get too into the weeds on the AI thing, I mean, just as it pertains to art, yeah, like fucking know your enemy. This is like the death of fucking art. It's so bad. It's such a threat to all creative people. Creative people have a hard enough time already, like trying to make any money for their endeavors, and now it's just going to make it so much fucking harder, because now you're going to have to compete with all this like schlock that didn't cost anybody anything to make and didn't take any time and didn't, no blood, sweat, and tears was poured into it. I don't know. I mean, I think this is great that Australia has done this. I'm not really sure what difference it makes. I mean, people are going to listen to what they're going to listen to. They're going to buy what they're, well, people know who buys music, but people are going to listen to what they're going to listen to. And I don't think there's anything, the dam is really broken on that. But I think I thought the quote that they put out as it pertains to this particular, they were like, this particular music chart was, created to help promote, the music industry as participated in by people and art, real artists. So like, we don't have to include robots in this list, and we're not going to. And there's a, apparently, I guess there's like another list that has to do with just plain like sales or something, or streams, or there's some other list that robots can be on. But I mean, I think it's good. I think I think we should do whatever we can to put our foot down and say, like, no, like there's value in human endeavors, and we can't just trade that for zeros and ones. Like, we fucking can't. So I think this is an honorable, just sort of like trying to draw a line in the sand, but I don't ultimately know that it makes much of a difference. What's your guys' take on it?
Yeah, I think that it's good that they're kind of taking action in the sense like they're not going to put it on the charts, but that doesn't, like you're saying, it doesn't remove the problem of people are making this and putting it out, or not people, but like, people are feeding ChatGPT shit and then this is coming out. Something that would stop it being created in the first place and just put the arts back to like human hands, because that's something that makes every like art so special, right? Is like a robot or an artificial intelligence software program doesn't know like what love is, it doesn't know what like anger is, it doesn't know what sadness is, it doesn't know any of these things that like so many people write about and have these experiences and put them into like song form that people can, like listen to and relate to and have conversations about and, like ha make the world a better place. And once, like, there's that saying that you judge the quality of a society by the art that it puts out. And if a society doesn't put out any art, there's something seriously wrong. So it's one of those things too. The amount of AI that has been used in like music stuff is really, really gross. And I think that in certain cases with some artists using it as like not necessarily in the music, but in the visual aspect of it to like as a satire thing, I think that also really needs to stop because you're still using AI to make your point. You are still, using however many like gallons and gallons and gallons of water. You're still contributing to like the environmental stuff that AI like completely like steamrolls, So all for this, I hope we see more bans, and I hope we see bans that actually stop it at the source instead of being like, yeah, it exists, but we're not going to show it.
Well, speaking of satire AI, we'll get into that a little bit later on tonight, but let's do a fun story. The Creedon family played the Hollywood Forever Cemetery for the 50th anniversary of the Ramones' first record. Of course, Creedon family is CJ Ramone, Tim Armstrong, Billie Joe Armstrong, and Travis Barker. They played a total of 19 songs. And of course, the Linda Lindas showed up and did two songs with them, I think. Am I losing, am I losing my mind here? I'm pretty sure the Linda Lindas were there. Yeah,
They
okay.
got on stage.
Billy Idol was there, and he did three songs with them. And a guy called J no, I'm sorry, a guy called Jason Fries, who I don't know who that is, was there on saxophone. Who's Jason Fries? Does
I
anybody
don't
know?
know. He
Wait,
is
was some
the brother, I think, of
Josh
Josh
Fries?
Fries. I'm pretty sure. I could be wrong, but I think so.
Fun fact, I just learned that Josh Fries is drums for Sting. I didn't know that. There's video of this online. Some people were grumbling about it, but I'm like, I don't know what, how you're grumbling about. This is cool and fun and great. And anything that gets love for CJ, I'm 100% behind. And CJ got love here. And I liked that when, and Billy Idol was there, which was rad as hell. And I liked that when everyone was talking about it online, like all the quote famous people, whatever, they're like, yes, they're like, Billy Joe was there, Travis was there, Tim was there, and CJ was there. I like how Billy Idol named CJ first, which I thought was very appropriate. I think maybe CJ should have got a little bit more, front row billing here, but I can understand why they wanted to make it as big as possible. And I don't even know if a whole lot of people actually know who CJ is, outside of the Ramones fandom world. But I love that CJ's finally getting his dues after, or his props after 30 some years or whatever. I thought this was cool and fun, and I think Linda Ramone is doing a great job now. Now that Linda, and actually, let's talk, we can talk about that real quick too. Is this is really the first major Ramones action now that Linda Ramone owns the Ramones? Of course, as the listeners probably know, Linda Ramone and Mickey Lee were suing each other for maybe over a decade in various lawsuits. And basically, earlier this year, it settled that Linda Ramon essentially took control ownership of all Ramones, RPI. So any Ramones decision is just Linda making decisions, except for with regards to Jerry Ramone's publishing that Mickey Lee sold to a company about 3 or 4 years ago. So anyways, I think, I've always been a fan of what Linda Ramone has done with the Ramones. The Ramones reissues that she's overseen are spectacularly done. They're tastefully done, and the archives that they put out is tastefully done. And whether or not that's Linda Ramone doing it herself or telling someone to do it, regardless, is to me, they're making the right choices. I think this is a great way to pay respects to the Ramones. The only criticism that I heard was, I think it was Sam Barrett, who said, well, they should have done it in New York. And I can't disagree that they could have done a California show and a New York show. Touche. But other than that, I think it's extremely well done. Hallie Bullitt, were you offended this was not in New York?
No, it just looked so fun. Anyone who's grumbling about this, like mad they weren't there. It looked so fun. It looked great. That set list was perfection. Yeah, I wish I'd been there.
What do you think of the one Billy Idol song or Generation X song? Do you feel that was appropriate? They did Ready, Steady, Go, second to last song.
Yeah, who doesn't want to hear
It's true.
that
And of
live?
course, Billy Idol's got a connection to the Ramones too. In that, A, he grew up in Long. What he was, he was he born in Long Island or something like that? His early years were in Long Island, but also he actually saw the Ramones on their first UK tour when they. When all the Sex Pistols and the Clash, before they were either band, went to see Billy Idol was there as well. So I thought that's a nice kind of full circle moment. And I think he's friends with Linda Ramone because he did a Ramones tribute last year, I think. So yeah. And more. What'd you think of this? Did you hate it? Did you love it?
First of all, Jason Fries is the brother of Josh Fries. He is,
Well done, Em.
hell yeah. And since 2004, he has been the touring keyboard and saxophone player for Green Day. And he's been on like so many different just albums in general. He was on like a Vandals album. He's on NOFX album. And yeah, so that's very cool. With this, I thought it was good. I l watched the video. They sound really good. Everybody's having like a blast, it seems. I thought the set list was really cool. I liked how they like the Linda Lindas were there, brought them in, and kind of made everyone like a part of it. I thought this was r really fun. Yeah, I think same thing. I think people who are upset about it or just kind of like this is a cool thing that I just didn't go to or whatever.
I have unfairly maligned Jason Fries. Check out, these are some of his credits. Dweezil Zappa, Jewel,
Nice.
NOFX, A Perfect Circle, Tommy Stinson, Goo Goo Dolls, Weezer, Busta Rhymes, and then it goes on
Not
and
too
on. So
shabby, man.
I have unfairly maligned Jason Fries. So there you go. He's the man. Gerard Way, M'more's dude,
Yeah.
Interrupters, Pete Thorne. And hope Avenged Sevenfold. So listen, he's been all over, man. Anyways, okay. Hallie Bull, play a song and we'll come back.
Oh, yeah. I fucking love this band. Do you guys talk about Twisted Teens on the show?
Yes.
Okay, Twisted Teens are like my favorite fucking band. And so I went to go see them across the roads out here in Jersey, and this band Lucy opened for them, and they're like dictators. Like they're from the city. They're like yeah, very much like dictators meets maybe something slightly more like street punk. This is like so fun to see live. If you have an opportunity to see Lucy live, you just must go. It's just like such fun, like rock and roll punk. It really is a throwback to just a style that you don't get to hear a lot of now. It's very New York. It's kind of New York. It's like if New York Dolls met like the Chisel. It's just like it's very, very fun. And so yeah, I really had a blast watching this band, and my favorite song of theirs is called Marie.
And we are back. And that was Murray by
Lucy. Beans,
the It Band right now, perhaps. The It Band. Mm-hmm. One of the It Bands. So here's kind of a thorny story, and then we'll do a couple more stories. So this actually brings up two broader questions. Waves, who was the Pitchfork Buzz Band of, say, 2012 to 2013, has been working for a full year on an album with Max Bemis. Although Waves says he's been working on it for a full year, and Max Bemis, if say anything, has only contributed, I think he said, 4 days or a week or something like that. Well, the record, I think, was done because they've been posting singles. And just before it's supposed to come out, it turns out that Max Bemis has been accused by a few different young girls, not women, girls, of him having inappropriate text message conversations. And actually, it was posted on Reddit, the inappropriate conversations, so you can go ahead and read them yourself. And pretty much everyone agrees that while maybe there's nothing explicit in there, that's certainly an unacceptable text conversation for a 40-some-year-old man to be having with a 16-year-old girl. And so anyways, that puts puts Waze in a funny position. He's done this entire album, and it turns out right before it comes out, the guy he did it with has got, we'll say, some issues. So what he said is basically, he's like, well, I'm going to scrap the album. I'm going to delete all the Max Bemis stuff. And then I'm going to make it just a Wave solo record. But then so keep that in mind. Now, there's a similar story, too. Death Valley Girls have released a video for Basic Witch. And the video is kind of funny, and it stars Xene of X. But of course, the issue with Xene of X is she said some pretty crazy stuff. She's a Trump supporter. She has said that victims of mass shootings were actors and that it wasn't real. And she's been called, quote, the new Alex Jones or whatever by some people. So she's did some you know, iffy stuff. And so the question here is, Waves, in a way, Waves is lucky in that this broke before the record came out. So he can salvage the project. You know, whereas what if it broke after the record came out? You know, then he's even a worse situation. So what do you do? And so here's the broader question, which, you know, has been happening in all of music recently. What do you do when your collaborator or someone that you've worked on art with, I'll speak carefully here, has been up to some very suspect stuff or stuff that you really think is not cool? What do you do in that scenario? And what do you do when it's already come out? Or with the Death Valley Girl stuff, Xene has already said stuff and they've got it in the video anyways, is do we just say, well, some of the – now, I obviously, the Max Bemis guy, I would say his actions are worse than what Xene has expressed, and I think actions are always more damaging than words, you know. But then that also brings up another thing is that, like, I would say the retribution for being suspect is not equal in the punk world, you know, in that, well, maybe it is. You know, John Lydon has been maligned for his Trump views, which he should be. It sucks so bad because John Lydon was the man. He was the destroyer. He was the hero. No matter what he did, he couldn't be beat because he's one step ahead of everybody. And no matter what you say punk is, he can say, no, it's not, because he was there at the beginning, you know. But then he goes pro-Trump and he loses pretty much all credibility, and he backstabs everything, you know. Similarly, Morrissey has had some pretty whacked out stuff, you know, and he took some damage too, although maybe he's recovering. Anyway, the point being is, I'm doing kind of a word jumble here, but I'll throw the difficult question to M first, because I've been throwing it to Hallie first. M, okay. What do you do when you've made something and it's already done and your collaborator is up to some suspect stuff, and B, did Waves play this correctly?
I think Waves played this correctly because it sounds like they worked on the album, like their side of the album, for a really long time. And the Max Bemis connection, while he worked on it, it didn't seem like he worked on it as much. So I think having everything come out before the album does, and then Waves being able to push the release back, rework the album as just a Waves album, remove the Max Bemis collaboration and move forward. I think that's the ideal situation where it's like, okay, hey, I didn't know this. And now I do. So I'm not going to put what we made together out. I'm going to cut it the way I want to cut it. I'm going to re-record things the way I wanted to re-record things. And because I think there was something where it was like, oh yeah, this was already mostly just a Waves album anyways, and it was just like small things. So I think that is the best way to handle it. If it's something that's already come out, or it's in the process of coming out, or it's been out for a week, like that's a very hard thing to like reconcile with and deal with, because like we all like do our due diligence on people and on collaborations and like on different things, and like things m might not be public, and then they come out after, and then you're like, oh my God, I didn't know that, and then you feel really bad for like giving somebody who has caused harm a platform or an avenue or anything. So I think at that point, I don't really know what the best thing to do is, other than just sort of be like, yep, it happened. I was not aware of it at the time. And then, you could, if it's a musical thing, like it's an album, you can pull it from your like Bandcamp, or you can donate the proceeds that you got from the album to like an organization that helps with whatever harm was caused, if that's like rain or if that's something else. So hopefully like it can do good. And yeah, that would be my kind of two cents on it. It's a tough situation to be in, but I think, being able to take back your work and make it fully your own is the best way to deal with it.
Yeah, I don't have a hot take on this. I mean, it's a bummer that the statement he released about it like really bummed me out. It's so heartbreaking. Waves was like, well, I spent 11 months on this record and this fucking D-bag spent 4 days on it, and
Yeah.
now I have to figure out a way to like salvage this. But like, John, I'm more curious to know your what you think about it, and especially about that band's decision to include Exene in the music video, because I thought the music video was hilarious. But yeah, it's like it's harder to enjoy it given, who she's decided to be in our current political climate. What's your thoughts on it?
I have a very direct answer to that. I think the video, I think the song's pretty good. I think the video is very funny. And I think Exene is being a good sport at being kind of the punching bag in the video. That being said, Exene, I just can't like I'm actually not into conspiracy theories at all. But sometimes if someone's into like a fun conspiracy theory, it doesn't bother me. Like Keith Morse is into like aliens and all that stuff. That doesn't bother me,
It's not hurting anybody.
But Exene was saying people whose kids were shot was actors. That's messed up. That's
It's
really messed up.
disgusting.
So that kind of, to me, that crosses the line. So I can understand the desire of Death Valley Girls to want to have Exene in the video, because she was, I mean, I'm not that big of an X fan at all, but let's assume for the sake of argument, X is a great band. I can understand the desire, but I thought, well, like, let's say I was in a band or something, and Rob Miller of Amoebic says, John, I want to play bass on this track. I'd have to say no. You know what I mean? It's like there is a line. And Exene has crossed that line multiple times. And plus, not to make everything, oh, we hate Trump. Like, Trump is pretty whack, man. He's pretty whack. Like, he's the whackest president ever. And the fact that she supports Trump, it's like, you know what? If now isn't the time to stand up, when is the time to stand up? 20 years from now, 10 years from now, when things are way worse, So I think Death Valley Girls are nice ladies. We've interviewed them before. They're cool. I think they made the wrong call here. I think they could have got someone else to play this role to the same. The same comedic impact and the same level of fame impact. Maybe they could have got Penelope of Avengers. Maybe they could have got Kira of Black Flag. Any of those women could have done the equally awesome job, and so I think they made the wrong call here. I'm not super hard edge about that. Like, if a musician has said some whack things that don't cross a certain line, I'm gonna say, hey, you know what? I'm trying to think. You said some whack stuff, maybe. I don't know. Trying to think of an example. Peter Murphy said some. Well, actually, he actually hasn't. He's done weird stuff, but he hasn't said anything that weird. I don't know. Whatever. Pick whoever you want. If you cross the line, I mean, really, honestly, at this point, maybe supporting Trump is the line for me, to tell you the truth. I don't like to be that guy where if you're on this team, I'm against you. But at this point, well, at this point, I'm not. If someone says I like Trump, I'm not going to be like I hate you. But I will be like, that's the wrong call, and I think you should, check out your perspective, But that being said, I'm not gonna give kudos to someone that is really down with that cause, is what they're kind of doing here. So I think they made the wrong call here. I think it's a little, I'm not disappointed because I'm not a huge fan, but I think it was the wrong. Like honestly, if this was World Inferno and they had like, Xena in the video, it probably would bum me out, or if it was even the dwarves, that would bum me out, And so I think it was the wrong call. I'm not down with the Well, I'm not down with the Trump stuff. I'm not down with the Alex Jones conspiracy stuff. I don't think Death Valley Girl should be nuked or nominated before. I think the retribution here should be Death Valley Girl's cool video, but you made the wrong call with the actor. Let's move on. As to Exene, I think we should say Exene, listen, well, go do your thing. I don't want to be a part of it. That's my response. How's that for a response, Hallie? So there you go. Let's jump back to AI real quick. So Ministry's got a new record coming out. It's called, and I don't fully understand the title. The record is called "Hate to Go, Takeout or Delivery." So I get "Hate to Go," like as in I hate to go, or as in hate to go as in takeaway food. But then takeout or delivery. I guess they're explaining the joke for you if you don't get it. I guess that's the title. I guess they're explaining you the joke. If you don't get the joke, here's the joke. That's out October 30th via Cleopatra. Ugh. Anyways, they got a new video out. The video is for the song "We Hate." To me, the song is like it's late era Ministry. That's what late era Ministry sounds like. The video is AI slop. Al of Ministry says, "Well, yes, it is AI slop, and we made it specifically as AI slop." Because we're annoyed that for whatever reason, right wingers more than other people tend to do these stupid AI videos. So we're making fun of that with my own AI video. I don't really buy it for two reasons. A, the video itself actually isn't that great. It just, I mean, like, the video in itself doesn't necessarily have commentary about AI in it, it's just AI imagery, you know? Second, Cleopatra has used AI in other projects, not ironically, simply as a tool. So I think Cleopatra's like, Al, we're gonna make this video with AI. And I was like, well, I guess I'll just say I'm making fun of AI and we could just make it, which is so annoying because in 20, it's cheaper than ever to make a music video in 2026. You can make a video for $30 or free. I always remember there's that fantastic Bond the Music Industry video from 15 years ago now where they're riding a roller coaster and it's just them on a roller coaster having fun, and it's like the best video ever. And I think they shoot each other with silly string, and it's an amazing. Or here's another example. I think Hallie was actually on this episode where I talked about that incredible video by Crazy in the Brains, shot by Jack Curley for punk. Is it punk rocker?
It's so
Yeah, right,
sick. That
right.
video's
So
amazing.
where the two harpies are not the two Furies are chasing Chris, and then the other guys come and rescue him. I mean, that video costs what, $100 to make, so you can make a cool video for essentially nothing. At this point, AI is just being used lazily. I think I like Uncle Al. I'm not gonna, and so this is not beyond the line where I'm going to X you out. Like, I think Uncle Al made a bad choice here. I'm not gonna X him out for this, but I think his video is bad. I think the song is okay. Hallie Bullet, what's your take? Hallie, do you buy AI? Do you buy the argument that AI can be used ironically? I don't buy that.
I kind of do.
Oh, you do?
I don't know. I thought that video was very effective, and there was,
Wow.
and I thought there was something fucking cool about that. It was like Trump's actual fucking horrible face. It wasn't a cartoon of him. It wasn't a fucking paper puppet of him. It just looked like him. And I don't know. I mean, I don't love AI. I really get upset when people use it for just the most mundane bullshit. People are like, "Oh, I had AI like fucking rate my grocery list out." I'm like, that would be like me taking a fucking private jet to the grocery. Like it's such an absolutely inexcusable waste of energy to do just mundane bullshit that you could either Google or do yourself. It makes me really mad. Okay, sorry. Anyhow, but I don't know. I think if I do think the other side uses AI to very, very great effect. And I didn't mind the tables being turned. I didn't mind the video. I didn't know the thing though where Cleopatra has just fucking like been a bunch of scabs and fucking used AI for other stuff. I didn't know that when I was watching the video. It might have made me view it differently, but I don't know. I just also appreciate like some of these older bands, like they have been fighting like a fucking like oppressive conservatism for decades, and I think they're good at it. And I think like there's something where they just like they these older bands that like, especially that were around like in the Reagan era, like they just like fucking come out swinging, you know? Like they're like they know how to do this. Like they've already, you know what I mean? Like they already know how to use art to yeah to fight like what they see as being really oppressive government politics. And so I don't know. Yeah, I didn't mind it, but I'm a big Ministry fan, so it's possible that I was like giving them a free pass when I shouldn't. And what did you think?
There was another artist who used AI. I'm blanking right now, but maybe it'll come back to me in like a couple minutes, who used AI earlier this year in a video, and it was supposed to be a like comment on how evil AI is and all this kind of stuff. And it backfired because people were like, well, why are you using this thing and like using all these resources to make this thing that is criticizing, AI when you could just make something kind of like with human hands and stuff. So that's how I feel with this too. Like, I get what they're doing, I get what they're going for, I get they're like, kind of punching Trump at his own game with the AI video and all this kind of stuff. But I didn't like it. It just felt like kind of gross to me because it was like, I get what you're trying to do, but still, you could do this more effectively without using AI. That was my thought on it. And like,
Could
it
they? They can get
freaked me
Trump
out.
in their video, but they did. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm not disagreeing with you, but like, I
No.
don't, but they, but this, what they did, they could not have done this without AI. Do you know what I'm saying?
They could have used like old footage. They could have like
Yeah.
superimposed him in somehow. Like, they could have had like something along those lines. Like, I get where you're coming from for sure, and I definitely like can see, that side of it. But yeah, it was just one of those things. Or if like they were to use AI, they could just use AI for Trump and then none of the other elements.
Yeah, I respect that. Yeah.
But yeah.
One thing I really like that Hallie pointed out that is that she says, the old bands, the Reagan era bands, know how to swing back and come out. A modern band would be like either sad or I'm angry, I'm angry. Whereas Ministry or Jello or any from that, they know how to like attack but mock at the same time. You know what I mean? And be funny at the same time. Which is very effective, which I think maybe a lot of modern bands, for whatever reason, they don't have that bend, So anyway, well, Hallie, did you see the Ministry tour where they did all stuff from the first record?
I saw them at a Riot Fest back in what would that have been like 2017, 18? They were like totally fucking incredible. Totally incredible. For some reason, as much as I love them, I didn't see them back in the day. So I was just like so happy to just see them really in any iteration, you know?
I've seen them twice. One time it was like quote normal Ministry. It was awesome. But my favorite time is about 3 years ago, or maybe 2 years ago, they did just the first record, basically. See, which Al used to hate, and then they got paid a whole bunch of money to play. So he was like, all right, I'll play it. And it was awesome. And I loved it. Anyways, got a couple
What
more.
venue did you see that at?
The Electric Factory, or now it's called
Nice.
Franklin Music Hall, but to me it'll always be Electric Factory.
Yeah.
Let's do well, I'll whip through. I don't know if Hallie or Em have a comment on this. Is Hallie, are you still good for time? You got about 10 or 15 more minutes? Cool. Okay. So anyway, Sleeve, I was streaming the new record. It's called I thought it was Hemispheres. It's not Hemispheres. It's Hemp spheres, which I think is an allusion to Rush, of course. But of course, the new record comes with a great amount of controversy because, of course, Sleep is, of course, Alces Narrows and Matt Pike. Well, Matt Pike is no longer in the band, and now it's just Alces Narrows and Bubba Dupree Avoid, and of course, Dale of the Melvins. And the new record is out, and I've listened to it. And Sleep, by and large, I would say Sleep fans are disappointed because there's no Matt Pike. And to me, quite interestingly, is this very much comes down to a trademark issue, in that if this was Ohm, which is Alces Narrows' band outside of Sleep, if this was Ohm with Bubba and Dale, I'd be like, yes, this is like great, this is like super good. But because it's titled Sleep, I do miss the booming guitar of Matt Pike, the thrashing guitar of Matt Pike, which this album does not have. And if really, if you ask me, this album very much sounds more like Ohm than it does Sleep. And I was actually kind of shocked they didn't try to mimic Matt Pike's guitar. And so I thought this record was good. I thought maybe it wasn't Sleep good, but I thought it was very good Ohm good. And so I don't know how I feel on this record, because to me, it all comes down to the name. If this is Sleep, I'm a little disappointed because it does not have that Matt Pike essence. But if we just say it's an Alces Narrows record or an Ohm record, I'm like, yeah, this is like one of the better Ohm records for sure. So how important, what's in a name? And more, would a rose by any other name be just as sweet? would a marijuana leaf be just as potent by any other name?
Yes, I think there's many hemispheres to explore. I think when you're operating with like we had the conversation with Rush where it was like, you know, with the tour they're on, they should have like altered their name just a little bit.
Yeah, but then I saw them and I don't care now. They were so good, I don't care. Like that was my opinion before seeing them. And then I saw them and I don't care. They were awesome. They were awesome. I mean, R.I.P. Neil Peart for sure. Very sad. But I'm not mad that Rush calling themselves Rush because they were so good. And they opened with Xanadu.
Is the Sleep album so good that you're like, yep?
No. It's good. It's not amazing.
Then
maybe that's the answer.
It depends on the quality of what they're putting out under the name. Does it live up to the other stuff that they put out as the name, or is it better, worse, the same? I think if it's better or the same, you can keep it. If it's worse, no. I do like the green on this, though. The green's very pretty.
You mean on the cover? See, I actually don't love the cover because the cover is like very comic booky, which I feel is a little not what's what I'm looking for. Not solemn's the wrong word. I want something more than a pencil drawing or a comic book like drawing. Something with more import, something with more gravitas than a comic book style drawing. I want something, you know, they used to have Eric Roper do the covers, which are these far out sort of Salvador Dali-esque paintings, you know. And so this to me just looks like a rather talented comic book artist drew a comic book cover, and I want something heavier and maybe not even as literal for Sleep. Hallie Bullitt, do you care about Sleep? Do you care about a band's name?
No, I don't care that much. But I know what you're saying. It's like if you're going to have personnel change and then the style is going to change, then it's hard to imagine why you are seeing it as a continuation of the same project. And what, and in that case, like, why use that name?
Well, the reason they're using the name is because Sleep gets a guarantee of, say, 80,000 or 60,000,
right?
I'm guessing. Whereas Ohm gets a guarantee of 5.
Well, I mean, from an artistic perspective, you know? Not from a monetary perspective.
So I will say though, my boy Dale Crover does a great job drumming, and his new EP is out today, and it's great. It's called "Get Your Babas Out." Anyways, let's hit a couple quick more stories. Oh, and actually, this is a similar thing, and I meant to include this too. And then we'll do one more story, and we'll wrap this on up. So Black Flag is going on tour. We talked about this a little bit last week. Oh, and speaking of it, well, we'll talk about that briefly too. Black Flag is going on tour. And the reason why I wanted to bring this story back up is because I am interested in Hallie's opinion. Black Flag is going on tour. And of course, Black Flag now is Greg Ginn and 3 kids. And one of the kids is a young lady. And to me, that was the best choice Greg Ginn could have made. Because if it's just another dude that's not Keith or Dez or Ron or Henry, and just some other dude, it's like, well, you're not Keith, Dez, Ron, or Henry. I don't care about you. But if we bring in someone with a totally different character, Well, to me, that's very interesting, and that's a new Black Flag, if you will. So I actually bought my $50 Black Flag ticket, and then it turns out that Max, the singer, she's not going to be on this tour, and the person on tour is a young fellow named London Downey, who they've posted videos of, and he's doing about as good a job as some random dude could do, but that being said, he's some random dude. And so two questions here, and I'll throw this to Hallie's. Hallie, are you interested in Black Flag with Max Zanelli singing, the young lady? And are you interested in Black Flag with just some dude singing? And let's go back to Plutarch's question. If you replace every plank on a ship, is it still the same ship?
I mean, this might loop back around to the point that you guys were making about sleep, which is like, if this singer, if Max were to be fucking excellent, then yes, I'm interested. And then if not, then no. I mean, I don't know. The whole thing seems a little strange to me because I was like reading a thing that like Greg picked her out because he saw her like in the audience at a show. Or did you guys read that?
Yes, that's correct.
What it's but
Ooh.
that seems weird to me. Something about that seems not, it seems very off to me. I mean, is it just that that's how they met and then they're talking? I don't know. Well, anyhow, I feel like I need a little more info on that. But no, I'm with you. I think it's cool. It's kind of cool to just be like, yeah, let's just go in a totally different direction. I think it would be super interesting to hear those songs sung by a woman. I don't know. Yeah, the whole thing, it's like it's sort of like a multi-layered thing that I can't quite, it's like a knot I can't quite unravel. I don't really know how to feel about it. Like, would you, but you had a ticket, John. Like, you were excited about it.
Well, now I'm
Are
not.
now
I
you're
don't.
not. You don't, because you don't see, you don't need to see just another dude singing these songs.
I saw what's his name, Mike V of the Rats, who had some Black Flag connection, and I really didn't care about that. And it was some dude trying to be Henry Rollins, which is I don't even know if I want to see Henry Rollins being Henry Rollins. I definitely don't want to see some dude trying to be Henry Rollins,
Yeah, no
And
thanks.
then like this guy London, I don't blame this guy, this young guy. It like one of his favorite bands, his favorite band asking to sing for him. Of course, he's going to say yes. But that doesn't mean me, the fan, has to be interested in it. And I'm not. It's like what was very interesting about Max singing is you can certainly accuse later era and even early era Black Flag of being misogynistic. So it's interesting to have a woman take those lyrics and maybe change them or even just change the perspective. That's very
Yeah.
interesting to me. Just some dude
Yeah.
trying to be Henry is not that interesting to me.
Yeah, unless you.
And also, you're not going to out Henry Henry, and you're certainly not going to out Dez Dez, and you're certainly not going to out Ron Ron, and you're certainly not going to out Keith Keith. So like, what are we doing here? Also, Greg Ginn used the AI to make a text notice, which is the wackest shit ever.
Wait, to make what?
So he did a post. The post he says, "Important notice: our singer Max has an issue with her visa. She can't do it." Blah. He used the AI to make his Instagram post that is just text. That he could have just typed it out. He could have written on a piece of paper and did a cell phone screenshot or whatever,
Yeah, again, I'm taking a private jet to the grocery store, to
I like that phrase. And more,
the
anything you want to add since last week, would you go see it? If this was free, would you go see it?
store. Ooh, if it was free and I had nothing else going on, and yes, I would go see it.
Ring endorsement. If there wasn't a re if there wasn't if there wasn't a rerun of Seinfeld on it, I would go, Anyway.
It was free and someone gave me a ride and I had
Exactly.
nothing going on the next morning and
I got like a meal out of it.
on a side note is that we talk about is speaking of free shows is just word to the wise is this past Saturday I saw Colleen Green and Titus Andronicus and it was awesome. Colleen Green was super awesome and it
Was
was like this
Titus?
Titus was great, always great. They always
Yeah.
they always do their thing. I mean, they're pros. They sound good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's in the Philadelphia Harbor Park, which multiple times a year they have free concerts there. There was a Dead Milkmen show there, but I didn't go because it was like quote sold out or whatever. No, it's free. And like I didn't even know this. Like in Philadelphia, there's like a boardwalk on the harbor. If you well, it's not a harbor, though it's called a harbor. Whatever the water, and it's like a mini beach where they
Oh,
have like
yeah.
free outdoor concerts, and it's totally awesome. So anyway,
Yeah, it's awesome over there.
so anyways, one last story. The police have deliberately done a sting on the Juggalos, and so at the past Juggalo gathering of the Juggalo 26, was 2 weekends ago, and the police actually did a sting. They were monitoring it, and they arrested a bunch of people, including a fellow that had, they alleged, had 93 pounds of marijuana, 124 pounds of mushrooms. That's a lot of mushrooms, and 136 grams of ketamine, and 33 grams of fentanyl. Wow. And 66 grams of ecstasy. And they also arrested some other people. They said somebody else had 40 pounds of edibles. So they arrested a number of people. So basically, the police said, "We know the jugglers are going to have drugs on them, so let's get them." And they did, in fact, get at least three of them for a lot of drugs. And so here's the question: is this the police doing what the police should do, fighting crime and getting dangerous drugs off the street? Or is this the police beating down on the juggalos who aren't hurting anybody and just getting high off in some camp, being dirty in the dirt and minding their own business? Is this the police putting their energy in the right direction, or is it just shooting? What's that phrase? Shooting something in a barrel. What's that phrase? Shooting fish in a barrel. And there's other things they could be working on. Halle Bullet, good job, police. Or leave them juggalos alone.
I mean, no, you guys, seriously, I'm so the wrong person to talk about this because I've been straight edge like so much of my life that I just like I don't I thought pot like, I thought pot isn't it legal? I thought it was legal. Why are the
Yeah,
I just don't understand.
it used to
Isn't
be
it
legal
legal?
in Ohio where they used to have it, but they got chased out of Ohio for licensing or something. So they went to like Missouri or something where weed is not legal.
It's just not legally. It's not legal nationally. I thought it was legal. I thought it was legal everywhere, so I got like very confused by this story. No, I don't think the police should bother the juggalos. Let the juggalos do what they. I don't really care. I don't know. I mean, also, I would think that like aren't I sort of feel like aren't the juggalos kind of like who are they? Someone ask me about this. Someone else talk.
And more juggalos, unfair. Well, and actually, to be fair, if you remember,
Yes.
the FBI labeled juggalos
Oh
as
yeah.
a organized crime syndicate, and the same
That's
Crime
right.
Posse fought back and got that designation removed. Is this unfair? So is this retribution, for Violent J and Shaggy Too Dope fighting back against the federal government? Is that what this is?
It certainly feels like it. It feels like they were like, we know this play or this gathering is gonna have drugs and we're gonna bust people for it and that's what we're gonna do. I think, yeah, I'm on the same wavelength. Just like leave them alone. They're not any sort of threat. They're just doing their shit.
I will say, do not leave them juggalos alone. And here's why. If they're just doing weed, whatever, who cares? If they're doing the cocaines, kids out there, don't do cocaines. It's bad for you. Don't do it. But not the worst thing in the world, okay? But bad, but however, you introduce fentanyl and maybe MDMA, well, it's certainly fentanyl, which can be
Yeah.
deadly easily, that's, I think, where we cross the line. If just mushrooms and the weeds, whatever. You want to be dirty hippies, go be dirty hippies. But the fentanyl is when things get serious. People do die on fentanyl all the time. It has no purpose except for to get people super high and super addicted. So, oh, go ahead. Go ahead,
It
Hallie.
did have a purpose, and it was like how heroin had a purpose. It was supposed to be a less addictive morphine, and it ended up being a more addictive morphine. Fentanyl was created to be a less addictive version of pain medication, and it ended up being more and ended up being yeah, so it had a medical purpose before it became what it is
And there's your pharmaceutical minute with
now.
Anne Moore. Thank you for adding that. At any rate,
Hey.
I will
Yeah.
say that's where it crossed the line. And I don't feel too sorry for these people that got busted. I'm anti-drugs. If you want to do drugs, fine. I don't recommend it. But then only do the light drugs. Don't do the heavy drugs where you can really, really get messed up, even by accident, So I don't have sympathy for these people. And I think the police did the right thing here by getting by getting ketamine and fentanyl off the street. Anyways. We'll throw it to M Moore first and then Halle Bullet. M Moore, any closing words, any pro juggalo statements for the listeners tonight? I'm pro juggalo. I mean, I can't stand same kind of posse music, but if someone wanted to be juggalo, I mean, people should make the joke is people should make fun of juggalos all the time, and now everyone loves juggalos. And you know what? People should love the juggalo. They're minding their own thing. They're having fun. They're not hurting anybody. And so if juggalos want to wear clown makeup and eat funnel cakes and go roll around in the dirt, which sounds like absolute hell to me, but if that's what they want to do, by all means, I'll be a punk rock bowling at El Cortez, staying at the Premium King Tower, city
Hell
based
yeah.
view. And you can go off in Ohio or Missouri and eat funnel cake and jump in a muddy pool or whatever, you know. Anyway, and more. So anyway, and more. Anything you want the listeners to think about before we wrap up tonight's show?
I can top that.
Hey,
Hallie Bullet, always a pleasure and a thrill to have you on. So happy to have you back on for today. Anytime you want to come back on, Hallie Bullet, anytime. I won't ask because I feel I'll bother you, but anytime you want to come back on, just let me know, Hallie Bullet, and there's a seat here on the podcast for you.
I
Anything.
love that. I love talking to you
Always.
guys. This was so fun.
This was awesome.
My parting words
Yeah.
are go see that Wile E. Coyote movie. It's fucking so funny.
It's so good.
That's all, folks.